Merry Christmas Eve. My name is Sid Drew, and if I don't know you, I'm a pastor here at Hope. And it's my pleasure and privilege to open God's Word and look at it together. Kind of as a preface for before we do that, once a year the Christian church celebrates the season called Advent. Advent is about the coming of Jesus. This December we've been celebrating the Advent or coming of Jesus by looking at this spiritual art of waiting. What does it look like to wait on God to come through? What does it look like to wait for Jesus to come again? Tonight, I want to focus our attention on what we're all waiting for. Whether you call yourself a Christian here this afternoon or evening, or whether that's not so much what you would call yourself, we're really glad you're here. And I would say that we're all waiting on the same two things. And those two things are comfort and joy. We're waiting on comfort and joy, and these exact two things are promised by our passage in Matthew chapter 1. So would you read this Christmas Eve passage with me? It's in your Bibles, or you can listen along. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. So Matthew 1, 18 through 25. And I'm reading out the English Standard Version translation. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Friends, these are the words of God, and they're more precious than gold, even much fine gold, and they're sweeter than honey, even honey straight from the honeycomb. Would you pray with me for our time together in these words? Father, may the meditations of our hearts and the words that come from my lips be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So Matthew, in chapter 1, invites us into the wonder of Christmas by giving us these two powerful names, Emmanuel and Jesus. These names not only get at what the miracle of Christmas is all about, they also show us why God did come to earth, why he did this miracle 2,000 years ago for us. First, in our waiting for comfort, God gives us Emmanuel, God with us. And second, in our waiting for joy, God gives us Jesus, the joy of God's salvation. And that's really just the two quick points we're going to look at this evening. We're going to look at Emmanuel, God with us, and Jesus, the joy of salvation in God. In verse 23, the angel of the Lord comes to Joseph in a dream, and he quotes the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. And there the angel tells Joseph, God is big enough to become one of us. He is Emmanuel. God is big enough to become one of us. Matthew explains what the name means. It means God with us. I like the way that Sally Lloyd Jones, who we kind of heard a video from earlier, says it. She says, Emmanuel means God has come to live with us. And really, God dwelling with us is our first reason about why God chose to walk planet Earth. Why did God go to the trouble not just to visit, but to live with us? Very simply, God came to comfort us. He came to hold us and to make us feel better. Maybe that feels like cold comfort for you in this season. I sometimes think that December is the cruelest month. So many of us walk around with such heartache about this time of year and what's happened to us. At the same time, as so much hope for joy. And maybe today, thinking about God with us in comfort can feel like cold comfort. After all, what can he do up in heaven for us? But that's exactly why he didn't stay there. That's exactly why he came down to earth to live with us. God came to hold us, and he came to tell us that everything is going to be all right. God comforts us by showing us his intimate knowledge of, he knows exactly how it hurts for us. He knows every piece of pain. He knows every way in which we're sad. And he knows our hurts so well because he lived our hurts. God is Emmanuel. He came to become a human being like you and me. God was born a baby, but he was also 4 years old. God was also 7 years old and 12 years old and 31 years old. At all ages, he was called a man of sorrows, well acquainted with grief. Perhaps more than any other, a former professor of mine, Steve Brown, puts it really beautifully. He helped me to see the comfort of Jesus' suffering in a really difficult time for me personally. And here's how Steve Brown says it. God's not aloof. He walked our dirty roads in every dark place where you are right now. There's hardly a single place in your life right now where Jesus doesn't say, sometimes with tears, yes, child, I know. So we walk in the dark. All things work together for good. We walk in the dark, trusting things that are insane and counterintuitive, and we do it because of Jesus' tears. Yes, sometimes God's light at Christmas is smeared by God's tears. But the God who knows us so well also promises to heal us, to heal our hurts, and to wipe away our tears. And that's why he's not just called Emmanuel, he's called Jesus. Our second point, Matthew 1, verse 21, we read the same angel in that same dream to Joseph, and he says this, God is good enough to save us from our sins. God is good enough to save us from our sins. That is why he's called Jesus. And the angel explains the name Jesus means God came to save his people from their sins. Jesus is God saves his people from their sins. Really, God's rescue of us is the second and final reason why he came to earth. Why go to the trouble? Why even bother? Why did he come to rescue us from sin? Very simply, there is a world of hurt inside and outside of us, and it comes from this thing called sin. And the only way that this hurt goes away, the only way that life gets healed, is by Jesus. And let me just tell you a quick story that I think will appeal to many of us in this audience from Dr. Seuss that really gets at this point. In the book Cat in the Hat, I feel like we know this story. There are two little kids that are stuck inside. Their parents are away. It's a rainy, cold day. They just stay inside. They're bored to pieces. And a strange, very tall cat with a very colorful hat comes in to play. And he offers them tons of fun. And so the games and the fun follow until the children realize that things are getting way, way out of control. And right then, at that moment, the Cat in the Hat turns around and begins to leave the house in this giant mess that he's left in his wake. And it's at that moment that the pet fish, one of my favorite characters, says what's on everyone's mind. And it may be one of the most true statements in all of children's literature. Here it is. And this mess is so big and so deep and so tall, we cannot pick it up. There is no way at all. Of course, the fish is talking primarily about a messy house, but he's also talking about each and every one of us in this room. Do you feel it? Have you felt it this December? The mess is over our heads. We're in it. Over our heads. We're in too deep with sin. Some of it's our fault, some of it's not. But the point is, we can't pick all of the sin up. We can't pick ourselves up. We're beyond self-help. We need outside of us help. We need a rescue that comes from outside. We need to call upon Jesus, the one who will save his people from the mess, from their sins. And so that's the story of God coming to save, and it begins with Jesus' birth. It doesn't end there, right? Jesus lives a sinless life in a sin-filled world, He loved perfectly. And Jesus died as a sacrifice to clean up our mess, the sin within us and the sin outside of us. And Jesus does all of this, rises from the grave, is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And Jesus does all of this to show us a simple truth. The deed is done. That's what we're celebrating. It is finished. Jesus is cleaning up the mess. There will be no more sickness, no more hurt, no more sadness. Jesus is cleaning up the mess, starting with the wreckage inside of our own hearts. But how? How can Jesus do this? It feels impossible, doesn't it? And I got to go back to Sally Lloyd Jones, who we saw a video from, and she explains it beautifully in her Jesus Storybook Bible. She explains the Christian Christmas miracle, and it goes like this: the God who flung the planets into space and kept them whirling around and around, the God who made the universe with just one word, the one who could do anything at all, was making himself small and coming down to us as a baby. Wait, God was sending a baby to save the world? But it's too wonderful. How can it be true? Is anything too wonderful for God? Is anything too wonderful for that God? It's the unlikely, complex, dangerous, wonderful promise that we've all been waiting for. It's Christmas. God will hold you. God will make everything all right forever. Hear the good news. Listen to the glad tidings once again. Christ the Lord is born. Amen.